The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas Kisovai. In the Parsha, in Dvorim Chof Zayin, Posuk Chof David. Orin Makei Re'ehu Basoser, the Omar Kola Omamin. The Torah is speaking about the acceptedness of the klolos, of the curses, heaven forbid, which were given on Har Evel, the brachas and the klolos, which were given on Har Evel and Har Grizi, when we would come into Eretz Yisrael. One of those that is mentioned is, cursed he who strikes his fellow man secretly. What does this refer to? Rashi says, Loshon Hara hu Aimer. This refers to Loshon Hara. When you speak Loshon Hara against a person, it's always behind his back. So this is considered Makei Re'ehu Basoshe, striking your fellow man secretly. Later on in Parshas Vayakel, in Parshas Nitzavim, there Rashi explains that Anigleis Lonu Levanenu Ishtores Lashem Elokeinu. Torah says that we are responsible for Avedas which we see Klal Yisrael doing, and we have the authority to stop them. For example, in the time when we would be in Eretz Yisrael and we had a Sanhedrin, and therefore if Avedas take place and we do not stop them, we are responsible. This is what is meant, Hanigleis V'Hanigleis Lonu Levanenu Ad Olam. This is in Parshas Nitzavim, Dvorim Chof Tes, Posuk Chof Ches. Hanistoles Lashem Elokeinu. But what happens if people do Avedas which are concealed? In that case, we cannot do anything about it. So then, this we cannot assume responsibility for. The concealed ones, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of. And in order to relieve ourselves from that responsibility, these curses were said. These are all Avedas which are done b'seisher, which are done secretly. So therefore, one of them that is mentioned is Loshon Hara. When someone speaks Loshon Hara, it's very difficult for the Beis Din to know about it. Therefore, a special curse was said. Incidentally, the Chofetz Chaim brings in his Sefer that aside from the many mitzvahs, leisases, and essays, negative and positive commandments, a person transgresses with Loshon Hara, he also subjects himself to this curse, heaven forbid. Last week in Parshas Ki Tzeitse, we also had mitzvahs pertaining to Loshon Hara. We had Yishama V'Nega Tzaras, that you shall guard yourself from the leprosy which is caused by Loshon Hara. And Zochareis Asher Osa Hashem LaMiriam, and remember what Hashem did to Miriam. And then there was a third mitzvah there also, of Ki Haitzi Shemra, the one who was Meitzi Shemra, where he slandered the young girl that he married with a falsified slander. And in the parsha before, in Parsha Shaftim, we had another mitzvah pertaining to Loshon Hara, And that was Le'yokum Eidechot Be'ish, that a single witness shall not stand up against a person to disqualify him, to incriminate him. And if he does, it cannot be utilized against the person because we need two witnesses, and it remains Vishnu Bisho, it remains Loshon Hara. So in all of these three sedras, we've had a number of mitzvahs pertaining to this. Last week we gave a shir on this. What I'd like to go into this evening is one of the major causes of Loshon Hara, and that involves another mitzvah, and that is what is known as being don es chaveira lekav zchus or lekav chayv. That if a person sees another person do something, we're referring whether he does it to he himself. Shimon did something to Reuven, and Reuven is not very happy about it. And Shimon claims that he did it with all innocent intentions. And Reuven doesn't believe him. He can either judge him favorably or judge him unfavorably. Or, if he sees Shimon do something, not to himself, but he sees Shimon does something, and to him it looks like it might be an aveira, or something that a person shouldn't do. But on the other hand, maybe it wasn't so bad. Maybe he had different intentions. Maybe it was a shagig, he didn't know about it. So in his mind, he judges him. This is called don es chaveray. You judge your fellow man. You can judge him lekav chayv or lekav zchus. You can give him the benefit of the doubt and judge him favorably, or to the contrary. This, as we'll see, is a very, very great causative factor when it comes to the speaking of Loshon Hara. The source of this is in Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Yutes Tesvov. There the Torah is referring to, formally it's referring to judges. Two litigants come before the Dayonim, the judges. It states, B'tzedek tishpei ramisecho. They must judge righteously. But then the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings another drosha. And the Rashi brings it there. He brings it from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Aflamet Beis. That it's not referring necessarily to judges at all, or a formal litigation, but it's referring to the cases we mentioned. B'tzedek tishpei tamisecho. That when you are placed in a situation where you must judge your fellow man, judge him with tzedek. Judge him righteously. Give him the benefit of the doubt. If a person does not give him the benefit of the doubt, well, actually, he's mevatel this mitzvah, transgresses this mitzvah of betzedek tishpei ramisecha, and he's also what is known as a cheshed b'ksherim in many cases, where you see your fellow man do something, and in your mind you say, aha, this is why he did it. He was trying to get the best of this deal, he was trying to steal this, he was whatever it might be, and you cheshed him, you suspect him of a davara, of an aveira, or something that a person should do, and he's an ish kosher. This is referred to as cheshed b'ksherim, which in people's minds this is not a very serious thing at all, because you're not saying anything, you're not accusing him of anything, you're not telling anybody about this. This is just your thoughts. Nevertheless, we'll see that it is a serious aveira. Secondly, this brings a person to another aveira, to Loshon Hara, because generally A person speaks Lashon Hara when he has something bad to say about a person. And as we'll see later on in the Shiur, the causative factors for this itself of Cheshed B'Tshevim, where you're not done as Kaveh L'Kafzchus, this becomes a causative factor for Lashon Hara also. A source in the Gemara that we have, besides the one we just mentioned, is the Gemara Masech to Shabbos. In Perek HaZedek, Dab Tzarek Zayin, Reish Omer Aleph. The Gemara brings well, maybe first we should learn a bit of the Chumash that the Gemara is going to bring in Parshas Shemarus. By the snare, by the burning bush, Hashem was trying to persuade Moshe to go to Klal Yisrael, to go to Klal Yisrael and to tell them, instruct him to go to Paray and let my people go, the whole story. And Moshe was trying to get out of it. He didn't want to do it. And he kept finding one reason after another why he shouldn't do it. So Moshe told Hashem, he says, when I go there and I tell them this, he says, Heim lo yaminu bi, they're not going to just believe me. This is in in Perek Dalet, Shmais Perek Dalet. Vayan Moshe vayomer, Vahem lo yaminu li. You're telling me to go and to gather up all the Zakenim, the elders, and give them this whole story that after so many hundreds of years in Shibud, in enslavement, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent me to take you all out with great miracles. He says, they're not going to take it from faith for face value. They won't believe me. They will not listen to me. We're speaking here of people that, firstly, they're intelligent. Secondly, they've gone through so much suffering. So Hashem said, they will say that you're lying. Hashem never came to you. So Hashem said to him, what do you have in your hand? He was holding the staff. Throw it down on the ground. She threw it on the ground and it turned into a serpent. And Moshe got a fright and he ran away from it. Then go and take it by the tail. Moshe did that, and it turned back into the staff. And Hashem says, Laman Yaminu, this will be a sign. You'll do this to them, and then they'll see that there's credibility to what you're saying. Vayim Hashem lay aid. Then Hashem said to him further, Hove no yotko bechekecho. Take your hand and put it into your cloak. Vayove yode bechekei. And he did this. And he took it out, and it was white, stricken with leprosy. Then Hashem said, put it back in. He did, and it had returned to normal. Hashem says, these are the signs that you will show to them. The Gemara brings in Perek HaZedek, Tzarek Zayin, the Gemara is bothered here. If Hashem merely wanted to show Moshe signs, to show the people, why did he have to show them signs that Moshe himself would become afflicted with? First of all, we see that
Moshe got a great fright. He saw the snake. It says Vayomas, he ran away from it. Evidently it was a very dangerous, poisonous snake. Secondly, he became a leper. So the Gemara says that actually this was not only a sign, but this was also a punishment to Moshe. It's Omar Eshlokish, Hacheshem B'Ksherim, Leke B'Gufay. If someone suspects innocent people, then Shemayim will punish him physically. Moshe suspected Klal Yisrael of not believing in Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that they would believe. He told Moshe, "Ein maminim b'nei maminim. You don't have to worry. They are believers and they are the sons of believers. And they will believe you without any signs. And you have no right to accuse them of not believing." And the Ator ein seif kol ha'amin. You are the one that in the end will not believe. Hey, maminim b'ksi b'yamin on b'nei maminim b'hamin b'nei Yisrael. The Gemara brings sources where we see that in the end he came to them and v'yaminu. They believed and they always believed. Atah ein seif kol ha'amin shenema yan le'mantim. You'll be the one who won't believe. When it came to the striking of the speaking to the rock, so Moshe instead struck the rock, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accused him of Yan Le'amantim, you did not believe in me. The Gemara says, how do we know that someone whose Cheshit B'Ksheilim is Loike B'Gufa, he becomes physically punished? Because it states, Vayena Hashem Le'ed, Havino Yotcha B'Chikecha. Take your hand and put it in your cloak, and he became a leper. So from here, we have the source that we are not allowed to suspect someone of a wrongdoing where there's the possibility that he didn't do it, or there's the possibility that he didn't mean to do it, his intentions were good. And if we do, it's a very serious offense. And it's like a begufa that the person can be stricken physically by Hashem, like we see by Moshe. He assumed they won't believe, so he suspected them. He accused them of that. And this is what the end was. There is a slight or an observation that we can ask here, because actually we could say there were two Averis. There was one of a Cheshit B'Ksheirim, he wasn't being burned in Lekaf Zchus. There was a second of Loshon Hara, he said Loshon Hara on them. So maybe it's just because of the Loshon Hara. No, we could answer maybe that's why there were two punishments. There was one that he was panicked by the snake, and the other is with the leprosy. Rashi in Chumash learns that it both goes on Lashon Hara, which is really contrary to the Gemara. At any rate, this is what the Gemara says. This is also a Mishnah in Perek Aleph of Masechta Avos, Mishnah Vav. Yeshua ben Prachya Omer. Yeshua ben Prachya said, he said three things. Asi l'charav, make for yourself a teacher. Kenei l'chover, acquire yourself a good friend. The Ridon is kol odem lekafshkush, and judge each person favorably with merit. The Yeshua ben Prachi is telling us three important things. A person has to have a mentor, he has to have a rab, he has to have a good chaver. A good chaver is very important. A good chaver is very important, and a bad chaver is a great tragedy. And this we see all of the time. Al tiskabel rosho, and harchik mishochin ra, like we brought in last week's shiur. A person has a great many influences on him. Nobody lives untouched. And the Rav, his mentor, is from the greatest influences. Actually, the Maral learns it doesn't go really on his Rabbi Muvok, on the Rav that he learns most of his Chochma from. It's referring to many learn that it's, even if the person is not of that stature, but he should make someone who is of good stature at least to be his mentor. The Rav has a great influence. But many times we find that a chaver can have more influence than a rav, especially with young people. Sociologists have found out that the greatest influence on young people is not parents, not teachers, but peer pressure, peer influence. See? They do what their friends do. I will say generally they travel the group plan. See? That's why you always see that if one does this, then the others will do it. If someone does this, the others will do it. That's why if he's in a good group, there can be nothing better. Heaven forbid if he's amongst a group which is a bad group. You've got, heaven forbid, he's close to a group or a few chevra, and they want to test out drugs or something like that. That's the peer pressure. So this is what Yeshua is telling us. He's saying, Asi lecha rav, get yourself a good rav, a good rebbe, to give you some good straight advice, guidance. But that's not enough. It's not enough at all. Kenei lecha chaver. See? Acquire yourself a very, very good chaver. Then he said, the Ridon is kol odem lekafshkus, that you should judge everyone favorably. A little later we'll explain from the Maral what is the sequence of these three things that Yeshua ben Parachia puts them all together. But at any rate, here we see that we have a source for this hanhoga, this way of conduct in the Mishnah. Actually, I don't have Rashi here. The Rabbi Yehuda in Ovis, in the Rambam, laid down, particularly Rabbi Yehuda, laid down three guidelines when it comes to judging your fellow man. He said that this formula is speaking about a Beinoni. A Beinoni is a person who's in the middle of the road. Either about a Beinoni or about someone that you do not know at all, or you don't know very well. And you see him do something, and it can be interpreted in one of two ways. Favorably or not favorably. Then there's a mitzvah of Hevidon es kol odem lekafshkus. You must judge him favorably. That's A. B, however, if we're speaking about it's odem tzaddik, a righteous person, a person who has a cheskes tzidkes, he's known to us to be a righteous person. Kal v'chomer, even more so if he's a Talmud Chacham, then even when you see him do something which cannot be interpreted in one or two ways, but can almost only be interpreted lekaf chayv, that it was an aveira, his intentions were bad intentions, we are still obligated to judge him favorably. And if it's impossible to judge him favorably, that's what the Gemara says, im ra'isa talmud chochem she'omer aveira balaylo al tehara achrov bayim. If you see a talmud chochem that did an aveira at night, you're not allowed to have bad thoughts about him during the day. The body also tshuva, because for sure he did tshuva. And the deen is that a person does an aveira, and he's a rosho. Once he does tshuva, he's mikre tzaddik. Now he's a tzaddik. So the first category is when you see something that can be judged in one or two ways, and we're speaking about a middle-of-the-road person, a beinoni, or someone that you don't know and don't know very well, you're obligated to judge him favorably. Second category of speaking, where he's a tzaddik, or talmud chacham, a person that you know does good things, then, not only in that case, but even in a case where it's almost impossible to judge him favorably, you must. The third case is by an orem rosho, a person who's becheskes rosho, an evil person. An evil person, even when he does something good and you're wondering why he's doing it or what are his intentions, not allowed to judge him favorably. The source for this is a pasuk in Mishle. In Mishle Chof Vov, pasuk Chof Hei, Shlomo HaMelech said, this is referring to a Rosh HaGomor, someone who's a total Rosh. Ki Yechanein Keilei Al Tamandai. When he comes and he makes his voice full of chayn, full of goodness, don't believe him. Ki sheva ta'eves belibay, because he has seven abominations in his heart. This is the advice King Solomon gave. So when there's a person who's a Rosh HaGomor, a totally evil man, once in a while you might see him do something good, stand on guard, because we do not know what his ulterior motives are. So these are the categories of this, of how one should conduct himself in regards to this. The Gemara brings also Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Perek Mafamin Kuf Chav Zayin on the base. It brings three stories. And the very, very wonderful stories of people who excelled in this need and this quality. First story is Tana Rabbanan Adon Chaveri Lekav Skus Doni Neseli Skus. Someone who judges his fellow man meritoriously, heaven will judge him accordingly. Nice about him, Echod. There was a person, Shiar Yorad Megilil HaElyon. He came down from the Galil, and he hired himself out to a person in the south of Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. And he worked faithfully for him for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippur, when the 3 years were up, he said, give me my wages and now I can go back and bring these wages, panosa, back to my wife and children. So the Balabos said, I have no money. No money whatsoever. So he said, all right, give me produce. He said, I have no produce. Give me land. I have none. Animals, I have none. Give me linens, I have none. He threw his pack on his back and he went home very, very depressed. Acharegel, after Sukkot, the Balabais came and he brought his wages for 3 years, and in addition, 3 donkey loads, one full of food, one full of drink, and the other full of other types of good things. He went down to his house and he ate with him and drank with him and he gave him his wages. Then he said, I want to ask you something. When I told you that I didn't have any money to give you, what did you suspect me of? He said, well, I thought maybe you had an opportunity to buy some merchandise cheap and you had invested all of your money. And when I told you I had no animals, he says, I thought you had hired them out to others. And no land, I thought you hired out to others. And no produce, he says, I thought you couldn't give them to me because there was no miser. They had the tenth to the levim hasn't been given yet. And I had no linens. Well, he said, by that time I came to the conclusion that you had taken a vow to give everything to Hekdesh. And this is why you couldn't give me anything. He said, Ha'avaydo kach hoyo. He says, I swear this is the truth. Hidati kol niksai bishfil hulkines bini. This was the father of hulkines. And he wanted his son to go study Torah, shele osak b'Torah. And because he wouldn't, he went and he gave all of his wealth to Hekdesh, to the base of Hekdesh, in order that his son should inherit. But when I came to my colleagues, they annulled my vow. And now, just as you have judged me with merit, so should HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge you. That's one story. Now it brings a second story. Don Rabon. Maise b'chosid echot, shepo deriva achas. There's a chosid, a righteous person, and he had learned that a young Jewish girl was captured by some alien group, and they held her for ransom. So he decided he would go and he would redeem her. He took a group of his disciples and he went and he redeemed her. On the way back, they came to an inn and he insisted that she should sleep near him in the room that he was sleeping. Next morning he got up and he went into the river to Tevel to immerse himself, and then he gave a shiur to his Talmidim. Then he asked his Talmidim, he said, when I took this young maiden and I had her sleep near me where I was sleeping, what did you suspect me of? So they said, we suspected that there was perhaps a Talmid, a disciple amongst us, that the Rebbe wasn't so sure of, and this is why he did that. And when I went into the river to immerse myself in the morning, what did you suspect me of? He said, well, we suspected maybe Machmas Tirdus HaBerech, from the difficulty of the traveling. The Rebbe had an omission. So he said, Aveda Kachoyo. He says, take a shvur, this is the truth. And just as you judge me, Lekashchu, so should HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge you. Then there's a third story. Actually, the Maral in this, the Siv Leiv Tov, brings this, and he says that each story becomes more remote all of the time, to show that even in the most remotest of circumstances, they will judge them favorably. The third story is, Tomer Abonim, Bamachas Hutzrach Davarachad, Letamire Hachomim. There was a time when the sages needed something from the Romans. They needed a favor from the Romans. And this was a governmental, diplomatic, political issue. So it had to be handled very delicately. So many times they would be able to do this if they would approach a matronusa. Matronusa was a mistress, a noble woman or a mistress, and this particular one was Shekol Gdele Reine Mitzuin Etzlo. All of the great Roman nobility used to visit her on regular occasions, and the Chachomim knew that this was a way that they could get maybe things they wanted if they could persuade her to influence them. So they decided they needed something desperately of the Tzoche HaTzibur for the sake of Klal Yisrael, who was under the Roman oppression. So they decided the only way to go with this matter would be to approach this Matronusa. So they said, Nielech, who will go to her? Amalem Rebishua Nielech. Rebishua said, I will go. So he went, and a group of his disciples followed him. Kim Shagir Peset Beiso, once he came to the door of her house, Chalatz Tfilin, Birichek Arba Amas, he took off his tfilin 4 Amas away from the door. Nichnas, he went in, the Noal Hadeles Bifnehem. Then he closed the door behind him and he didn't let the Talmidim come in. Achashi Yotso, when he came out, Yored V'Tovel. He went to the mikveh and he was tabled. Nishona L'Talmidov, and then he gave a shir to his Talmidim. Afterwards he asked him, he says, when I took my tefillin off, what did you suspect me of? So they said, we held that the Rebbe didn't want to bring Dover Divrei Kiddush or something so sanctified, the Mokum Tuma, in an impure place. And when I closed the door and didn't let you in, what did you suspect me of? We thought, Dvar Malchus Yesh Beinei Leveino, that you have something of a governmental level that you have to discuss with her and no one else must hear it. And when I came out and I went into the mikveh to tell her, what did you suspect me of? That maybe when she was speaking, a bit of her spit went and landed on your garment. Omalehem, he said, Ha'avoda, kachoyo. He said, I take an oath, this is the truth. Okay, same, Shedantuni lishchus, Amokum Yodin Eskemishus. Just like you have judged me favorably, so should HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge you favorably. So these are three stories that the Gemara brings to illustrate. Now here we're speaking of that other category where we're dealing of someone who is a Talmud Chacham, a great Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik, well, how, to what great extent they went to judge a person favorably. Excuse me. Now, even though this is basically machshava, thoughts, when you are chesed b'kshedim, you suspect someone of doing something wrong, or you do not judge someone favorably, you're not doing anything to them. physically or monetarily. You're not even saying anything to him. So it's all in the mind. And we might think, therefore, it's a mitzvah kavah. It's a very, very small mitzvah, a very small avera. To the contrary, the Gemara brings that same Gemara, that's Kulchov Zayin on the base, but on Kulchov Zayin on Aleph, the Gemara brings that this mitzvah, Adon, as Chaver Lekatzchus, is amongst the rare mitzvahs which a person is Echel Peresem by Lamazer, Bakeren Kayemes, La Elamabo. There are certain rare mitzvahs. Generally, we say that Schar Mitzvah Bahayam Maleko, that a person does not reap the reward of mitzvahs in this world. That's for the next world. But there are a number of rare mitzvahs. Or, to the contrary, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays off for the Shoyim with their reward in this world, so that he won't have to tolerate them in the next world. But there are a certain number of rare mitzvahs which bear fruit in this world, and the tree that the fruit comes from is untouched and awaits the person in the next world. See? The fruits are here, and in the next world the tree is there. And this is a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs that the Gemara mentions. And the Gemara says that this is inclusive in another mitzvah of Hafor Sholom Bein Orem Lachavere. Now this tells us something. From the greatest brochas, the Chazal tell us, in the world is Sholom. I say Sholom Abarei Asakol. That once HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Sholom, then there was everything. Sages tell us that the Sholom is the brocha, is the keli, which is maxi kol brochas, which hold all of the brochas. If there is Sholom, then there is everything. If there is not, then nothing else is worth anything. It brings it to be done. Eschaveda lekavshus is in the mitzvah of bringing Sholom between people. And to the contrary, we know when it comes to Machlekes, when it comes to Sina Schinam, this brings Churban HaKlal, brings Churban to the whole nation, Churban Beis Hamikdash, and Churban HaPrat, destroys society, destroys people's homes, destroys families, marriage, and so forth and so on. You know, we all have, there's the Yiddish word, faribel. And many people unfortunately think that it's a mitzvah, that faribel should be part of everyday life. This is what destroys the fabric of family life, of social life. And if you look into most of the faribels, it's because one suspects the other. Suspects this one, you should have done that, you could have done that, you didn't do this, you should have done this, and so forth and so on. Well, they're not done as a odom, done as chavere lekatzchus. Now, we mentioned before that Rabbi Shur ben Parachya, he said three things. He said, Asi l'charav, very important, you must have a mentor, a Rebbe, to give you straight guidance. Kenei l'chachover, but that's not enough. You can have the best Rebbe, but if you have bad chaverim, you're going to have a conflict of interests. There's going to be the whole business of balance of power. So you have to have a very, very good chover. And then have you done as a kol odom lekavshus. Judge everyone favorably. What does that have to do with it? So the Maral says that Rabbi Shubin Brachia is teaching us how to get along with people. You know, we have many, many books that are written on how to make friends and get along with people. This is what Rabbi Shua is telling us. He says, you want to lead a good life and get along with people and be an Eves Abriyas. He says, the first thing, you need a good Rebbe. Then you have to have a good Chover. But even with that, it's not going to teach you how to get along with everyone. You have to be socially well adjusted. So that have you done as kol odom lekafshus. If you have the temperament where you want to judge everyone favorably, then you haven't made, if you have those three. Your Rebbe gives you a derech yisora, your chover will give you good influence and support, and many times prevent you from doing things that are wrong. And for the fact that you have the temperament that you want to judge everyone lekav shchus, he says, then you will be an Eves Abriyas and an Ohuv Labriyas. And it states that Misha hu Ohuv Lamato, someone who is beloved by people here, Biyodua Shahu Ohuv Lamalo, then it's known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him. Those people who are not beloved here, they're not beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But those who are beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Maral explains, what Rabbi Yeshua ben Brachia is telling us. And then, in addition to this, the Rambam brings, we're now midway into Elul. And these mitzvahs are very important, extremely important, in the Bein Odom Lechaveri. The Rambam brings in Perek Dalet of Hilchis Tshuva, Halacha Dalet. He brings Arba Resing Volim Akvinas HaTshuva. There are 24 various Averus that stand in the way of Tshuva. Even though that Tshuva is Mechaper Al Kol Dover, it will atone for everything. But there are 24 types of Averus that make this difficult. And he breaks it up. He says, son, the tshuva is so difficult that the person might not do it. Others, he might not come to do the tshuva for it. He breaks it up into various sections. In the final section, he brings Umehen Chamisha Dvorim, five of these 24. Ha'aisa Ison, this is in Aloha Hei. Ha'aisa Ison, Yimoshe Chachare, Achareim Tamid. No, excuse me. Padalad. Umehem Chamisha Dvorim, Ha'aisa Ison, In Cheskose Lo Shumehem. There are five of these 24. That why do we say that a person would they'll prevent shuva? Not that they'll prevent shuva, but the person will not do shuva from them. Not that he cannot do shuva, and not that someone will stop him, but he will not do shuva from them. Why? Lefi sheim dvorim kalim ve'enei reva odem. Because in the person's eyes, these are very small averas. In reality, it's a great avera, but in the person's eyes, they're very small averas. The nimtza chayta, the hu yud meshein zachet, and it comes out then that he will commit a chayt, a sin, but he will think it's no sin, and therefore, since he thinks it's no sin, he'll never come to do tshuva for it. And he mentions the five. The last of the five that he brings is Acheshit B'Ksheri. Someone who suspects a person of doing wrong when he has no right to do so. Even the Levi, he will say to himself, Shein Acheit, this is not a chet, this is not a sin, because ma'asishilai, what did I do to him? B'chiyei shom ala cheshad, I'm only suspecting him. Shemaso shemalayaso, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't. V'hu ein yodea shezeh ovim, and he doesn't know that this itself is the avera. Shemesim odom kosher b'daitai kebal avera, that he takes an odom kosher and he makes him in his mind as if he's a balavera, he's an avarian, he's a person who does bad things. So this is one of the 24 averas that will keep a person from tshuva. The reason here is because he'll never think that he did anything wrong, and then he'll never do tshuva from it. Incidentally, in another category of the Rambam brings that five of these averas, five other averas, are the type of averas of why will a person not succeed in doing tshuva, because it's the type of averas which are difficult for a person to free himself from. And there he mentions rechilas and lashon hara, what we spoke about last week, the tail-bearing, incitement, and lashon hara. So, therefore, a person should not look at either the good side, the upside, lightly, it's from the great mitzvahs, or the downside, say, lightly. Now, if we go a little deeper into this, we said that this is a cause for lashon hara, because once he suspects something, someone of something, and he judges him unfavorably, then many times he comes to talk about it. See? So-and-so did this, so-and-so said that. But actually there's a deeper cause into what causes people to judge people favorably or to judge people unfavorably. What is the cause of that cause? In Masechta Avos, Perek Beis Mishneh Yud, the Mishneh is telling us about the great Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. He was the disciple of Hillel. It states that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had five great disciples. The Rabbi Blazer ben Hurkines, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yisya HaKain, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanil, and Rabbi Blazer ben Aroch. And then he would count their praises and so forth. Then he asked them, he says, I would like to hear from each one of you, what is the greatest leader? What is the greatest single power that a person should develop in himself, which should bring him to the ultimate, greatest spiritual perfection? And each one gave him an answer. One said, Ein Teva, a good eye. Another said, Chover Teva, a good friend. Another said, Shochin Teva, a good neighborhood, and so forth. And then Blazer ben Aroch said, Leiv Tov, a good heart. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai answered, I agree with Rabbi Blazer ben Aroch, who said a good heart, because Shebechal Dvorav Divrechem, because everything that you said is inclusive in a good heart. Then he asked him, tell me, what do you think is the single worst quality that a person can have? So then he said just the converse of what they said before, Ein Ro, a bad eye, a bad friend, and so forth. And Rabbi Blazer ben Aroch said, Levra, a bad heart. Omelehem, Rabbi Yehudman Zakkai said, Re'ani as Divrei Elozer b'divreichem. I agree with Rabbi Elozer ben Aruch that the worst single quality a person could have is a bad heart, shebachlal dvorav divreichem, because whatever anyone else said is included in what he said. Now, firstly, when you come to judge a person, the first thing it's dependent on is in the eye. You have two people, and they both see exactly the same thing. And one is Deirish Lishvach, another is Deirish Lignai. And one will say, look how beautiful it is, and the other will say, look how ugly it is. See, look how good it is, and the other will say, look how bad it is. And that's dependent on an eye. Some people always try to see good in what they see, and others try to see bad in what they see. There was a great Hasidic Rebbe, Rabbi Levi Yitzchok Mladitshev, who was very, very famous. He would appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu how good Jews are. And he could always be Deirish Lishvach. When he would see a Jew do something, he'd always find some goodness in it. They tell many, many stories, but one famous story is that there was a balagola, a wagon driver, and evidently something happened to his wagon, and he was so worried about he was davening, and something happened about the wagon, and he was so worried about the wagon and the panoso and so forth and so on, that right away he rushed to see the wagon, and he still had his talis and tefillin on, and he saw that the wheel needed fixing, so he got down on the ground and he started to fix it. And he became so involved that he had forgotten that he hadn't taken off his talis and tefillin. So a Jew comes along and he says, look at this kuvyang, this balagolo. See, that he doesn't even have the decency to take off his talis and tefillin before he gets down on the ground to fix his wagon. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchok said, Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, look at you Jews. He says, even when they're fixing their wagons, they still want your mitzvahs of talis and tefillin. Now, this was an eye. One looked at it one way and the other looked at it the other way. So this is what's so important about an ein tov or an ein ra. But what Rabbi Yehudman Zakkai is telling us here, that actually the good eye or the bad eye is dependent on something else. And that is the good heart or the bad heart. And that's why he said that Re'ani as Divrei Elozer ben Aruch, said, because Divreichem b'chlal dvorav. What you said is inclusive in his. If a person sees evil all the time, it means that there's something wrong with his heart. If he sees good all of the time, it means there's something good with his heart. And that's why Rav Elozer ben Aruch said the greatest single quality a person can work on is the heart, to develop a good heart. From there, he thinks good, he sees good, and he says good things. If he has a bad heart, then he thinks evil, he sees evil, and he says evil. Actually, the morale brings that we find this by Aaron, the Lev Tov. Right in this by the burning bush, where we quoted in Shmos, it states, this is in Shmos Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, that Moshe kept giving reason after reason why he shouldn't go. They won't believe me, and this and that. Actually, he had an ulterior motive, the Chazal, the sages tell us. He wasn't afraid of going. He would go. He said, I can't speak well. His fear was, is what would his brother Aaron think? Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is approaching me, and he wants to make me the Melech, the leader of Klal Yisrael. He says, Aaron is a great tzaddik. Aaron was a prophet, and he's older than me. And he says, I don't want to do this to Aaron. So finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him in exasperation, this pasuk, "Vayicharach Hashem b'Moshe." He became angry and he said, "Vayema halei Aaron echicha Levi yodati ki dabe yedaber hu." He says, "I know all about your brother Aaron, and I know how good of a talker he is, and so forth and so on." But the gam he may who yetsi likrasech overoach oversamach belibe. All of your fears are meaningless. Aaron, when he hears about this, that you have been made the leader of Klal Yisrael, there can be no greater joy brought to his heart. He will come out to meet you, and he will see v'somach b'libay, and he will rejoice in his heart. Now, he had great reason to feel badly. He could have envy. He could feel depressed. Many times we say, you know, don't do this because it's not right. The older brother will feel down. See? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I know Aaron. I know what kind of heart he has. He has a lev tov. And when he hears of your success, he will be full of joy. Re'acha v'somach b'libay. And it states, Rashi brings, Mikan shezocha Aaron lecheshen al libay. Aaron was able to become the Kohen Gadol, and he would wear the breastplate on his heart. What did he do to merit to wear the breastplate on his heart, which was such a magnificent piece of jewelry? There are 12 precious stones in it, because he rejoiced in his heart, therefore he was zocha, he merited to have the cheshen alibay. The Maral goes one step further, where he says the cheshen mishpat had the urim v'tumim. The urim v'tumim was what they would ask and they would answer. It was ruach hakodesh. A person comes to ruach hakodesh from a lev tov, from a pure heart. Because the heart is the source, just like physically, the heart is the source of the body. From the heart purifies the blood which goes through the whole body. So is it with the midos, that the heart purifies all of the midos which comes out from the person. Therefore, he was that person of the lev tov, and therefore he was zocha to the choshen and to the urim v'tumim, the Ruach HaKodesh. So this is the ultimate cause. And if a person develops a good heart, then he sees good in people. He has an eye in the tov, a good eye, and he sees good in people, then he judges them good, and then he speaks good about them. On the other hand, the person has a lev ra, then he sees evil in people. And then he's chesed them, he suspects them. And then he speaks evil about them. This was the principle from Rabbi Lezer ben Aruch, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Re'a ani es devarav, that I agree with his words. One final, final point. We're saying here, "B'tzedek tishpat amisecho," that you shall judge your fellow man favorably, give him the benefit of the doubt. We're saying tishpoit, you have to judge. Actually, this is contrary to judgment. A judge is not allowed to judge someone favorably. A judge is not allowed to bring in any other issues in besides what is brought in front of him. He has to judge in accordance to the facts. He can't bring in compassion, he can't bring in stokah, charity. He has two litigants in front of him. He has to come up with the ultimate truth. The fact is, it states also in the Mishnah of us that a judge must look at both of the people as if they're both Rishoyim. They're both lying and they're both wicked until the truth comes out. Now, why is that? Now, by a judge we can understand. Because if he looks at both of them as righteous, who gave him license for this? Who gave him license to look at each one as righteous and therefore what each one is saying is right without any proof? A judge has to judge in accordance to the claims and the proofs which are brought before him, and nothing else can enter into the picture. So he can only judge the righteousness of the words of one of them if it's built on solid claims and proof. If he's going to look at both of them as righteous, so then he's already prejudged the case before it started. Therefore, he's obligated to look at each one as far as I'm concerned, I see no truth there whatsoever until something is proven. When it's proven, then I will see it. This is the hamoga, this is the way a judge must judge, because it has to be shura sadin, it has to be absolute, upright and correct to give a fair deal to each litigant. So the answer is this is true. This is when you're judging two litigants have come before you and you have to judge them. But now what the Torah is telling us, that not when you're playing the role of a judge. If you see a person do something, first of all, you're not always obligated to judge him at all. But even if you must judge him, or a person did something to you, there you're not dealing between two litigants where you have to see that each one receives a fair trial. So there the Torah is telling us, "Betzedik tish peram yisecho." There you must look at him as if he's righteous. There you must give him the benefit of the doubt. If you're sitting to judge and to bring the truth out between a conflict between two people, so it has to be the truth. So you can only judge in accordance to the facts which are brought before you. But when you're having your own dealings with people, or in social interaction with people, there we're obligated, b'tzedek tish peram yisecho, that you should judge him always the katzchus, see, to give him the benefit of the doubt in accordance to what Rabbeinu Yonah laid down in and not to suspect him of wrongdoings. And this comes from the source of seeing goodness in your fellow man, which ultimately comes from the source of a lev tov, of a good heart. This is the mitzvah of b'tzedek tish peram yisecho, which is from the great causes of what brings the people either to speak good about people or to speak evil about them. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.